I've got two verses I want to talk to you about in Psalm 56, all right? Psalm 56. And so if you could find that, or if you just want to read it from the screen, that's fine. But if you're physically able, would you stand while I audibly read the Word of God in your hearing? And then we're going to ask God for his help as we try to unpack this and understand it together, all right? Two verses, verses 3 and 4, it reads like this. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Father, we thank you so much for making us your own. Thank you for making that marvelous way for us to be reconciled to you. And then for Jesus coming and revealing to us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to your Father except through him. And thank you, Father, for finding us when we were so lost and sinking so deep in the miry clay of our own lives and reveling in the darkness of our own sin. And yet you stretched out your holy arm, and Holy Spirit, you brought light, oh my, light into our souls. And you brought us out of that darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And we love you today because you first loved us. Now, would you, Father, draw near to us now? It's just such an unfathomable thought that the master of the universe would actually draw near to his people. And so here we are, Lord. You know, it's just a few of us, but to think that the master of the universe would give us his undivided attention is just an amazing thing. But we confess that this gathering is in vain unless you meet with us. So meet us now in the scriptures, guide us into truth, and it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So our subject for today is when I am afraid, okay? When I am afraid. Now, I gathered some statistics, and many of these are recent. But 30 to 40% of people have a fear of flying an airplane today. Approximately 33% of people have a fear of failure. And so you may have heard many of these things, but it's still true. Approximately 77% of people have a fear of speaking in public. and I'm sure that some of you all can relate to some of these because you have some of these timidities yourself, yes? 75% of American adults have a fear of contracting COVID or some related disease we keep getting these things that seem to come out of that whole milieu of COVID, and 75% of American adults have a fear of contracting something. 11% of adults, American adults, are extremely afraid of death. Yeah. I missed the dental one, didn't I? Yes, 75% of American adults have a fear of dental work. Yeah. I see some of y'all smiling. You know what I'm talking about. You go there and you just hope it's nothing but a cleaning, just a cleaning. just a cleaning, but that's not always the case, is it? Yeah. And 11% of all American adults are extremely afraid of death. Now, I found that statistic was taken from 2019, but still, it's something that we have to think about. And the statistic didn't say just afraid of death, but extremely, you see, terrified by the thought of death. And so, as we talk about our text here today, I want you to know that fear can be godly or fear can be ungodly, okay? Fear can be wise and fear can be unwise. Fear can be edifying or constructive, or fear can be destructive, okay? And so we got to keep both of these things in mind. There's an old theological terminology called an antinomy. They seem like they work against each other, but fear isn't always negative, okay? So we want to talk about both. That which is not good for us and that which is. And it's all called fear. Okay, it's all called fear. So, this is the way we're going to divide up our thinking. I'm going to address them. I want us to understand fear. And then I want to talk about overcoming it, okay? Fear understood and fear overcome. So let's go. Y'all ready? Let's dive in. So let's talk about ungodly fear first. Ungodly fear. Now, fear includes such things as anxiety and worry, dread, and the loss of courage as you're in the face of danger or something unpleasant in life. You see, so you keep that meaning of fear in mind. It's an anxious feeling that comes when you know you're facing something that's either unpleasant or dangerous. All right. Now, then, as you work through the scriptures, there are many causes of fear, and so I just extracted a few. Now, this is ungodly fear. This is the kind of fear that you and I want to be cautious about, that we want to stay away from. All right. And so, some of the causes are being afraid of God's judgment, because now you know, as a Christian, Christ has taken on what? The wrath of God. But you remember, you see the first occasion with that in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned. You remember that? And they realized that they'd sinned. And amazing thing that now they used to enjoy God's presence, but after they sinned, then God shows up as he normally does. They're walking, the Bible says, walking through the cool of the day, calling out, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" And he finally came out and he said that I was hiding in the trees. Isn't that an amazing thing? Think you can hide from God in the trees. But then, you know, they put on these leaves, and that's an amazing thing, see? Think that leaves can cover you up and trees can hide you. But you see, that's the reason it's ungodly. You see, you don't think right when you get in this kind of fear. So, fear of God's judgment. And then, you might remember in Acts 5, the priest had, basically were unhappy that these apostles were preaching Christ. And so they'd come together and they had gone and arrested them and locked them up. The Spirit of God, the angel went and released them, and they went back and they were preaching again. And so they sent the officers out to arrest them. And the Bible says that Acts 5:26, the Bible says that the officers were intimidated because they were afraid that the people might stone them, you see. So again, this is ungodly fear, being afraid of people. Afraid of people. And then there are a few other things in the Bible. When you read the book of Job, a loss of family members, or a loss of your health, or a loss of your wealth or your money. Job 3, Job said, the thing I fear comes upon me. 325, right? And then the thing I dread befalls me. You see? And so you don't want to get in that place where you're always walking around worrying about whether you're going to lose a family member, worrying about whether you're going to lose your health. You see how you're going to lose your money. You see how that can affect you. That can keep you from obeying God. So you see, this is listed under the ungodly category. But then, y'all remember back when the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan, and you remember they came back, and 10 of them gave a bad report. And Joshua is kind of summarizing that in Joshua 14. And he said that bad report just what? Melted the heart of people and made them fearful. And that's what can happen in your life when you get people always bringing... I shouldn't say this. Yeah. Y'all remember that old Wizard of Oz movie? You remember which was it? You remember one of them that said, "Don't bring me no more." Y'all remember that? No more what? I don't want no more bad news. Well, I know I shouldn't have digressed into that. But that the issue is that bad news can cause you fear, you know, get a bad report. Any of us, you know, me included, you know, when you get a bad medical report, right? Do you remember what that was like when you got that bad medical report? And you have to shake yourself, because otherwise you're so fearful about it that you can't function. You see, so a bad report can also create ungodly fear. And then obviously the fear of death, we see that in Matthew 8 when, you know, here these rugged fishermen are caught in this storm. Y'all know the story, right? And Jesus was asleep in the boat there, and they rushed down to him. "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus woke up and says, "Whoa, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid, what? You of what? Little what? Faith. Little faith. Why? Because I'm on the boat with you. You've been with me. You've seen what I do." You see? And those are just a few. There are many more causes of ungodly fear. But I just wanted you to think about some of these and make sure that these are not things that you are letting, you are allowing, you see, to dominate you, to affect you. I'm not saying that you won't be tempted. All of us are tempted. All of us have to deal with the reality of ungodly fear. It's real. But we have to recognize it, right, before we can deal with it. It's like any other sin. If you don't recognize it and honestly admit it, then you'll never deal with it. Now, in our text, we see the psalmist here is admitting the fact that he has the fear of his enemies. You got it? When you look at 56, verse 1 says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." You see it? "Proudly, when I am afraid, put my trust in you." So he's honest that this ungodly fear in him is coming from his enemies. But then I also want us to address the reality of godly fear. And this is a wonderful thing. There's a couple of verses in Jeremiah 32. And let me see if I can get it here. Jeremiah 32, 39, and 40. God says, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for their own good and for the good of their children after me. Verse 40, I will make with them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. So, you see, God is the author and the object of godly fear. God gives it to us, and he says, I want you to fear me. Why? Because it's good for you. It's healthy for you. Where do you get it? I give it to you. You see, the ungodly fear comes from inside. It's you. It's the way you drum up imaginations and thoughts. But godly fear comes from what? Comes from God. It's a wonderful gift. So that they may not turn from me. So godly fear is a what? It's a great blessing. But remember, godly fear means that God is the one what? Whom we fear. You got it? God is both the author or the giver, and he is the object of this fear that we're talking about. Also, when it comes to godly fear, remember that it is commanded. There's a verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Fear God. Fear God. You don't have to guess about it. God clearly says that we're to do that. Also, Proverbs 8:13, if you haven't ever read it, says that this godly fear, the fear of God, is to hate evil. Hate evil. And so that's the reason, as you grow in Christ, you find yourself being so oftentimes even infuriated by people who dishonor the name of God. They shame the name of Christ. You ever been in those situations? And it just breaks your heart. Why? Because you hate evil. And you hate the fact that people can't see that it's evil. But that's the Proverbs 18, is that that's what godly fear does for you. It enables you or motivates you to hate evil. And then this is probably the most familiar one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Beginning of wisdom. The Proverb writer also says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And so, I just wanted you to get a taste. I wanted to whet your appetite with what it means to, as we understand ungodly and godly fear. Why is that, Brother Willie? Because godly fear is where a believer begins and grows in the love of God with the character of God. So you know, when you're reading your Bible, you want to make sure that as you read the word fear, you can discern whether it is what? Ungodly or godly. Because if it's godly fear, that's where you can grow. That's where you can grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Grow in the love of God. Grow in the character of God. That's where we want to be, right? That's where we want to be. Okay, so that's the first thing. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk to you about today is not only understanding fear, but overcoming it. And so I want to follow the same paradigm and talk to you about ungodly fear first and overcoming it. And so one of the things you will remember is that believers are commanded not to fear or not to worry. You remember we saw that? Verses like Philippians 4, 6 says what? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Now, is there anything ambiguous about that? That's really clear. That's really clear. Be anxious for nothing. And you remember the biblical definition of fear includes what? Anxiety, worry. You have to learn to deal with stress. Life involves what? Stress. It's real. If you don't learn how to deal with it, it's going to affect your health. Yes? All right. So, we're commanded not to fear or to worry. And how do we overcome it? Well, you see, go back to our text here. One of the ways that the psalmist says that we overcome this ungodly fear is by trusting God. You see verse 3? When I am afraid, what does he do? I put my trust in you. Okay? You say, well, brother, well, that's so simplistic. No, well, it's not simplistic. It's simple, but it's not simplistic. Because if it was simplistic, we wouldn't be talking about it here today. And if it was natural, God wouldn't have told us that we have to do it. If it was natural, you wouldn't have a saint here confessing the fact that there are times I am afraid and I have to learn what to do when I am afraid. And everyone in this room needs to be honest. Because if you walk out of here in denial, you will find that you will not change, you will not grow, you will continue to be paralyzed by these fears and anxieties and worries. Yes? So when I am afraid, what do? I put, it's a deliberate act. I put my trust in you. I do it. I don't depend upon anyone else to do it for me. There's nothing wrong with talking to other people, but when you get done talking, getting the counsel that you want, you have to put your trust in God. Yes? You got to do it. You got to do it. You know what the proverb writer said, trust in the Lord what? With all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. Don't do it. Don't do it. What the psalmist said, the Lord is my light. What? And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold or the refuge of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yeah. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is a refuge? He's a refuge. When you go through that list of things that we have, when you get a bad report, or when you're concerned because the stock market has turned around, when you realize that you are having to deal with COVID issues and other diseases, you know, when you realize that you got to go to the dentist, and whatever the case may be, you know, the Lord is my refuge. Mm. He said, I'll never leave you. What? Nor desert you. I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. Whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, you see, you got to trust God. All right? So that's the first remedy that he mentions. is to trust God. The next remedy is in verse 4, and that is to trust God's word. You see verse 4? In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? You see, the word of God reveals the will and the character of God. And so you can't separate God from his word when you are facing trials and tests. And you know that you're anxious. You know you're nervous. You know that stress is overcoming you. You see, that's the reason you need the word of God. You need the word of God. Yeah, I want to trust God, but you can't separate him from his word. And that's the reason you need to be familiar with your Bible. Not just where it is in your house. Yeah, you know where it is in your house, but it ain't going to do you no good when you're in trouble. Is it? In Proverbs, where it says, your word I've done what? I've treasured, I've stored where? In my heart. Yeah. That'll help you when you find yourself getting anxious and worried and stressed and fearful. We good? God's word, God's word. But you see, you also overcome by God's presence. Yeah, in Acts 18, when Paul was concerned about so many people turning on him. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. Yeah? And so God's presence gives you courage when you're having to face danger. His presence is a wonderful, 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 wonderful encouragement. And then God's protection. There's a Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6 says, I lay down at night. I lay down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me. That's the word there. The Lord sustained me. He sustained me. You see? He protected me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against all around me. Yeah. You can sleep at night. You can sleep at night when you trust God and trust his word. Yeah. And when you know that God is your protection. How many times have you gotten up in the morning and found out you forgot to lock the door? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Or maybe even go out to your car and realize you forgot to lock your car. And it's really an humbling situation when you realize that you've been asleep all night with the door unlocked, or if you got a garage with the garage door up. Isn't it? Now, I'm not justifying, you know, carelessness. We ought to check our doors and, you know, lock. You know, I'm not saying that. But you can sleep at peace because what? God is your protection. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So many people, you know, they got all their windows with iron bars on them, and I'm not being critical at all. Just layers and layers and layers of protection when But when it's all said and done, I mean, if a thief wants to get in your house, iron bars won't stop him, will they? Locks don't stop thieves, does it? God is our protection. So keep that in mind when we think about overcoming this ungodly fear. And then, of course, the last thing is hopefully it'll be the obvious one to most of you. That is prayer. God's presence, God's protection, and prayer. You all know that those familiar verses there, right? Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing but what? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be made known to God, and what comes? And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension and understanding, will guard your what? Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And don't fall into the trap of just of people saying the least I can do is to pray. Don't buy into that. That's not the least you can do. That should be at the top of your list. Pray. When I'm afraid, learn to pray. Yeah, learn to pray. We good? Pray. You see, this ungodly fear is not overcome by denial. Not overcome by dishonesty. It's not overcome by delusional thinking. No. It's overcome by sincerity and honesty. That's the reason the psalmist said, when I am afraid. Because he knew he got helped when he was open and honest. And you and I are being helped here today. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, because someone was willing to what? Be honest about what they were going through. You never know how many people you help when you are honest. Yes? When you are vulnerable, when you're willing to admit your own weaknesses and struggles. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When I am afraid. But then there's this godly fear that I want to talk about real quick, and we're almost done. And there's some wonderful verses. The first one, can you turn to Proverbs 14:27? Find Proverbs 14 and verse 27. I don't know if you've ever seen this verse before. But it's marvelous. It's a marvelous verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Do you know that verse was in your Bible? A fountain of life. That's what we're talking about here. Life. Life comes when you learn what the Bible means by fearing God. Life. It'll keep you alive. Keep you from doing foolish things. Keep you from following after your own thoughts and your own imaginations. That's the reason the fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. You see? It's life. It's life. It's life. Hallelujah. Now, and turn back to Psalm. The second Psalm, Psalm number 2. There's another wonderful verse here. Psalm number 2 and verse 11, I believe it is. Yeah. And so this godly fear brings joy in serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Yeah. See, that's godly fear. godly fear. You see, there's no contradiction between godly fear and joy. There's no contradiction between godly fear and rejoicing. There's no contradiction between godly fear and praise and singing and prayer and blessing the Lord and worship and all of the kind of things that bring glory to God. You see, there's no contradiction when it's godly fear. Yeah. It brings a joy in serving the Lord. But then keep going over to Psalm 5, Psalm number 5, and verse 7 gives us a little bit more information. It says, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in the fear of you." You see, it's essential for true worship. Essential for godly worship. Godly fear is essential for godly worship. Just two more, and we will back off of this one. Can you go a little deeper into the book of Psalm? Find Psalm 130. You find Psalm 130? Keep turning, and eventually you'll get there, just like I am. Psalm 130 and verse number 4. "But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." Isn't that amazing? With you there is forgiveness. So I see that this godly fear motivates forgiveness and gratefulness. Every saint in here ought to be grateful that you've been forgiven. Yes? But then it ought to stir up that heart of forgiveness toward others from you. Because you know how much God has forgiven you. As you sit here right now, how much did God forgive you for this week? How much has he forgiven you for this day? This day, on the Lord's Day, how much did God forgive you for? So that you could be here. You see? So the fear of God motivates forgiveness and gratefulness. Yeah. Forgiveness and gratefulness. And then the last one, if you turn over to the New Testament real quick, 2 Corinthians 7. Could you find that? 2 Corinthians 7. It's the very first verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in" what? "The fear of God." The fear of God. And so this fear motivates holiness. It motivates holiness. And so I wanted you to see these things, that godly fear has wonderful blessings associated with it. Yeah? Wonderful blessings associated with it. Blessings that come, if you will, in the same package. All of these blessings come in the same package when you fear the Lord. All of these blessings flow from the same mountain. They flow from the same source. They flow from the same spirit. All of these blessings are from the same stream of God's goodness. All of these blessings come from the same tree that yields fruit in its season. Because the same God who is to be feared is the God who is good to us. Do you understand my statement? The same God who is to be feared is the one that we proclaim is good. How many times do you say, "God is good"? Well then, yes, he is good, and he is to be what? Feared. Those are not contradictory concepts or ideas or principles. And if you just would embrace that today, that's really all that I'm trying to communicate. We've got this whole negative concept about fear in our minds, and that's the ungodly piece of it. But I'm also wanting us to embrace what? The godly aspect of peace. That is what? For our good. For our good. Well, you've been very patient. And so as we conclude, I would say to you, my brothers, my sisters here present, those on Zoom, that honesty and openness and truthfulness and confession is the pathway to victory over ungodly fear. It's the only pathway. That's the reason the psalmist again said, when I am afraid, this is a pathway to victory. And so you need to follow that same pathway as well. You all know in the past few weeks, we've been addressing the destructive consequences of living in denial. It's destructive to live in denial. Denial keeps you in ungodly fear. Denial is the friend of ungodly fear. And it's an enemy of liberty. A friend of ungodly fear and an enemy of liberty. Denial is a pathway into darkness. And it takes you deeper into darkness. It grabs you by your hand or by your heart and just draws you deeper into darkness. Denial. Satan loves it when we deny. We deny the truth. We deny what we feel. We deny what's going on inside us. And all of us struggle with it. Vulnerability is a difficult challenge. Yes? And so denial is that pathway into darkness. But we, what are we? We are children of what? Light. Children of light. We are children of the day, as we looked at last week, and children of truth. So when light and truth from God reveals ungodly fear in us, when the light and truth of the Holy Spirit reveals fear in us, when the light and truth from another believer reveals fear in us, we know that God is doing it what? For our good. Regardless of who he uses, he's revealing it for our good. If it comes from him directly, if it comes from reading the word, if it comes from another believer, God is revealing truth in me for my good. Yes? Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Don't deny it. It's for our good. Because God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. You know that. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. So, when? Listen to me. When you are afraid, turn your attention to the word of God. When you are afraid. When you are afraid, turn your attention to the word of God that you've stored in your heart. And if you just can't seem to do that, pull out your phone. Put your earbuds in. But just make your way to the word of God. Make your way to the word of God. But it'd be wonderful if you can make your way to that word that has been what? Stored in your heart or memorized for such a time as when you need it like that, you see? Because when you've done that, when you have memorized the word of God, memorized God's promises, that will keep you from yielding to your thoughts that are destructive. And that ungodly fear. You understand? And it'll take captive. That's what 2 Corinthians say. You got to take those thoughts what? Captive. Into obedience. Into the obedience of the word of God. Because the word of God is true. Not what I'm thinking right now. The word of God is true. Not what my mind is racing around. And all of the possibilities that I'm working my way up. Well, I'm just getting all worked up because of the what ifs. But I need to go to that which is.
The word of God is true always.
It's always, always true. Yes? And so work your way to the word of God when you are afraid. And the promises of God will assure you. They will comfort you. And they will strengthen you. God's word will never, never fail you when you are afraid. Yes, when you are afraid. And finally, when you are afraid, put your trust in God Himself. Focus on Him, not on your problem. Focus on Him, not on your issue. Well, Brother Willie, how can I do that? Whatever you need to do, however you need to do it, get your focus off of your problem. Get your focus back on God. Get your focus on God. Meditate on Him, not on your problem. The song says, fix your eyes what? On Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what he said. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Yeah, the Hebrew writer said that you're looking to Jesus, fixing your eyes on Jesus, who's what? The author and perfecter of our faith. And why do we do that, Brother Willie? Because Isaiah says, God will keep you in perfect peace. What? Your mind, your heart is what? Stayed, fixed on Him. That's where the perfect peace comes from. Your mind has to be under His control. So you just got to find a way. And you know you better than I know you. But find a way to focus on God and His Word. God and His Word when you are afraid. Ask the Savior to help you. What? Strengthen, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing, what? To aid you. He will carry you through. And so, I just, for every saint here, I want to leave that with you. For those who are here present or maybe joining us by Zoom who don't have this genuine, I'm not talking, you know, we've talked about this fake relationship, but those who are here or on Zoom that don't have a real relationship with Christ, you know you don't, you know you don't, you know you don't. And I just invite you now to believe on Him. It's God has made the way, so just believe on Him. And you'll come into this place where all of these blessings are yours. For all these blessings are yours, and God will change your heart, and you'll clearly see and understand what we are talking about. Father, thank you for these few minutes that we spent together today. And Lord, we ask you to help us. You know where we are. You know our struggles. You know the pains, you know the difficulties in our lives. You know it. You know the things that we don't talk to other people about, Father. And so help us to understand that you are serious when you call for us to trust you in this way with all our hearts and not lean to our understanding. And Lord Jesus, I just plead with you, if there's someone here or someone that might hear this message later that doesn't know you, would you just draw them by your great love and grace? Draw them to yourself out of the darkness in which they're living into your marvelous light. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.